got its good aspects, it's also got its bad aspects, because the more they can think about it, the more they'll think of the scheme. It's not in our face, so the period of gestation we have today, I don't think we're under strong media pressure given their tendency for fragmentation to have quite a few percent over here.
This project, I think there's about four essential points out of all this. It's called related to me. First, I think we ought to re-emphasize the travel that's occurring. The attack is wanting to come to Rome, went just to placate their feelings a little bit. While they were there, Schiller was in Rome. And Silsa was traveling all over. They're all moving back and forth. No question what they're trying to put something together and present a common front against us. They have already reached a fairly common front with respect to certain things. Number one, these gentlemen in their own countries are blaming the United States, blaming the dollar, blaming the monetary crisis for all of their domestic ills. They're using it as a political whipping boy. Consequently, the United States is getting extremely bad press. So this makes it politically more difficult for them to do anything. They all say that, well, yes, we know you got a problem. We know that. But politically, we can't do anything about it. And they all are they've reached a common front. The next point is they reached a common front. That they really can't do anything about this now. The United States has to be back. It's got to be in the United States action. Politically, it's unacceptable for them to rebound. They just can't do it. And this is what you gained. Now, little things creep up, and Paul didn't get this direct, we got it indirect. One of the Italians suggested that because of the great interest the United States had, that probably the United States should not share, the Secretary of the Treasury should not share the group of 10, that probably ought to let Benson continue. Well, under the normal rules of the game, by meeting the International Monetary Fund, the United States would succeed Canada as chairman of the group of 10, which means I would chair it. But now they're already wanting to be sure that we don't occupy a position of any leadership, even in the group of 10. So you get this kind of ferment, and there's no point in kidding ourselves, but what they're all moving to form this bloc, and I think they will, frankly. I think they're going to try to move against us, and I think they're going to try to form a system within the common market and have a different policy completely with respect to the United States.
I guess it's your view that we should retain our flexibility.
Oh, Mark just said. That's just that. Just watching for a while.
I could feel more strongly on that point. I know there are some strong yellow figures, at least from my reading the papers, you know, among the economists and among the rest, that we should come in with a program. They everywhere use the price of gold, raise the price of gold, other systems, and so forth and so on. It's our obligation to become we are the strongest economic power to make the leadership in setting up the monetary system. The point that I make there is the first two points. One, having taken the risks, and as we all know from our campaign meeting, we realize there are very potentially great risks in moving off our previous policy, and having taken those risks and written them through, we're not about now to catch up, to temporize in attempting to pull them together again. I just think it's very important for us not to do that. I think before we move, we ought to be relatively sure that we can be in such a complicated area, that we're moving to a new system that is one we can live with over a long period of time. There should be no, I just rather let it go along right now, let them fool around all they want. We'll be an island and let them be theirs. And as a matter of fact, as those charts showed, our interest in having stable system are not nearly as great as theirs. We're a hell of a lot bigger market than they are. Our economy is a lot stronger than the dollar is. Shall we put it that way? The dollar isn't as weak as the American economy. But the second thing is that I believe that it's an opportunity for us when we do leave, especially halfway through almost when we do leave, to build a system which is more compatible with the world as it really is. My first two things have changed. The thing that we mentioned, 25 years ago, Bretton Woods and the rest, the United States was an economic giant, everybody else was pygmies. We had to take the lead and went out, right? And we did. And ever since then, whether it's the FDRs or all the rest, the United States stepped in and we've been the great big statesmen, international statesmen of the world, we've done the right thing. And we should. And now, there are lots of the giants. We're still the biggest, but there are a few others that are pretty big. You look at Europe, compare to the United States, you look at Japan, or just take those two, that's enough. That's quite a business. And so here we are, we also have a situation where our friendly competitors abroad do move, that are able to move in a much more controlled way we can tie monetary policy to trade policy, et cetera, than we do. We're just, whether it's monetary policy, trade policy, quotas, restrictions, or what have you, they can do move in a very precise way. The Japanese more so than the others, but the Europeans will get to that. So with looking down the road, that will be the pattern of the future. It's very important, seems to me, that we, and I know nothing about the monetary stuff, but we support a system in which we, with our great strengths and potential weaknesses, will be able to have a fair stake at the table. And I just don't think, and this is the thing I realize, I don't think that going back and patching up what we had previously or I can't, without prejudicing the subject, because it maybe is exactly right, I know Archer has strong feelings on this, not prejudice, that to be tied down by some arbitrary firm standard, or be able to tie the gold or what have you, it seems to me, looking at the world as it's going to be, and also looking at its uncertainties, that isn't very much in our interest. Now, where we go, I have the slightest idea, but I think your idea, John, of keeping loose this time, sitting tight, keeping loose, whatever, is exactly right. I don't think we know it this time.
We don't.
But I don't think I would rush in too fast.
To prove your point, although there's less urgency is reflected by Paul in his meeting over there now than it was 2 weeks ago, because at that point they had their markets closed, at least both of them, and they were alive, and so the sense of urgency is gone, dissipated to some extent. But nevertheless, they all still want to talk about reassessing the exchange rates, the fixed exchange rates. Our position has been, no, we don't need to talk about that. We don't want to talk about that unless and until we talk about this. Commitments and payment for them until we've talked about trade arrangements and tariff barriers and non-tariff barriers. Now, when all those things are settled, then we perhaps can talk about exchange rates. But they don't want to do that at all. They say, oh, we don't even know what forum we can use to discuss those matters. But you can't use the group of 10, you know, or you can't use the W3, or you can't use anything else. They don't want to talk about those things. What they want to do, I think it's fair to say, they want to get back to a fixed exchange rate and get us back into the old system, and then they start putting on all the barriers again, administrative and otherwise. And we would be right back to the same place we got ourselves out of. And I just don't think we ought to move until we get these other non-monetary matters settled. And this is the trade matters of who's going to pay for defense, and whether or not Japan is, and whether or not Germany is, and whether they're going to whether or not Peru is going to buy free tariff planes or American airplanes.
What is the situation on Japan, Paul? Which side are they playing with? Are they closer to the British?
No, the Japanese, I think, will play a somewhat separate game. Of course, the tendency on the European side is that they're more willing to talk about these other things than they ever have been, although they're still not very eager, but they're fine to say, well, so much of that problem is Japan. Go talk to Japan about it first.
There, too.
Now, Japan has lined up, everybody has lined up on this gold thing, in the sense to say, politically, you must take the sacrifice of changing the gold price. And Japan, you might have thought, was the least likely to take that point of view, because they hold very little gold, and they've never been interested in changing the gold price. Even they have lined up on that issue. But the Japanese know that they're going to be the subject of special attention, so when you're in a general meeting, they lie pretty low. The others are inclined to say, we agree to have all these problems, but the impression is 90% of them is which is
very
important.
John, what Bolger said is going to be something. Well, I think we've done very well on trying to go publicly, but I think in these private discussions with the Japanese, the minute the subject comes up, we should cut them off.
Yeah, I agree.
That's what I try
to all of us say. Let's not even discuss that. It's impossible, so don't waste any time on that.
They've discussed this among themselves. They've all agreed to take a common line on it against this. I tried precisely that technique in these meetings. As soon as I introduced it on the agenda, I made my little speech just like you suggested, but they went on and talked about it anyway.
Is that your view? Just cut it off right away. Otherwise, you pop nothing.
Well, gentlemen, we go on, but we, the meeting's left. Let's take order of credit. That's giving John a chance to wind up.
One thing that occurred. Where did you say we were getting the bad press? You were a moment ago.
In Europe. But not on our economic program. The bad press is because the governments over there uniformly are blaming whatever domestic problems they have, and they differ in various countries, but they're blaming on the dollar, or your actions, or our trade, or something. But we're the whipping boys.
I don't think it's always the governments. Responsible for this tends to be the opposition and that popular press and to some degree the governments, but the federal government's
government. In the United States, the
Dollar as far as that's
the plan. Couldn't have been
the vice president over in Goodwill Tour.
Could not have been the United States. Let's talk about that. To your program in the United States, I don't think it's a question of what you captured the imagination of the American people. The American people felt something should be done. They're happy that it has been done. Paul McCracken and his policy committee of the council has done an exceptional job. And he's been chairing the council while I've been gone the last 10 days. And I just, outside of one or two little uncertainties that have arisen, one on teachers' pay, I think. That's about all.
Dividends.
It's just been dividends have been unusual, unbelievable acceptance of the program throughout the country. It's reflected in every way, in every walk of life, in every economic strata. I personally talked to people in all walks of life. I went to the yard, the commission yard, and I talked to the commission. I talked to the ranchers, and I talked to the cattle buyers, and ranchers, rich and poor. I talked to the bulldozer operators, clerks in the drugstore. I talked to business leaders. And I can't find any place in any strata, economic strata, where they didn't think it was a good thing. Now, I must say, they're all so uniform, without exception. They're unanimous up to this point that we have to have a strong follow-on program. I've not heard one single person that takes the contrary. They think you cannot turn it loose, that you have to have a fairly strong middle. stated yet, and not in general terms, people I've talked to, because they don't know that much about it, they just don't think we can turn it loose at the expiration of 90 days, which of course everybody, I think, fairly well knows anyway. In the political circles, it's been like a bombshell, of course, as a consequence, they just get a few more candidates for president every day. Van Tarkey now looks like he's going to run against Birch Bayh. Indiana really needs to. that caliber. And Bill Anderson, Tennessee now, decides he wants to surface under the ice cap, and he's going to enter the primaries, it appears. So just that one hour, at the point where it's coming, approximately coming loose.
What's this $6 billion program for Muslims? That's a $100 tax credit.
Oh, yeah, he wants to give everybody in the country
$100 except those that power automobiles. So that's about the limit. But they're all, frankly,
trying to scramble to try to respond and try to develop some kind of a program. None of them have been able to come up with anything at this point. We'll have, I'm sure, because of this, we'll have some tough days in the Congress. I think as much as possible now, we've established, I think there's only one really important thing that we have to remember, Mr. President. We've established a high degree of, you have a responsibility and credibility now in recognizing what your problems are. And you admitted them, you came out in the open with them, you took some drastic action to try to correct them, and from here on, whether regardless of what it is, I think we just have to admit that maybe we made a mistake or we miscalculated or whatever, and just take up to it. And let's don't ever take a position now that would indicate that we're trying to cover up or that we're trying to hide something or that we're not being completely honest and candid with the American people, because I frankly think they're in a frame of mind to take whatever sacrifices are necessary, to do whatever's necessary, provided they feel like the leadership of this country is leveling with them on what has to be done.
We will have, incidentally, we haven't set the cabinet meeting. Are there any feelings? As a matter of fact, you and I would like to have a further report on this, Paul and John, George, and various people. I think we're also going to, we're going to have the cabinet meeting, so people in the agencies are going to have to cooperate on some of the budget things, like the Veterans Administration and so forth. So we have, and of course, the top of the finance system, so we have a broad based cabinet meeting. We've got a notice about it. So another purpose of that is to mobilize our own troops or throughout the cabinet. And this, of course, is key to that for the activities that we should engage in the next few weeks to support, from a public relations standpoint, these programs. Always when such programs are announced, there's an immediate reaction because of the stunning shock of it. Of support, and everything in politics is of course, a counter reaction after the shock that people start to come up with their own ideas and find a way. And what we have to do is to keep the offensive. It's very important here that everybody be in on this offensive, including the state defense and so forth, as well as to the extent that you can, as well as the people that are on the cabinet committee and economic policy or the cost of the council. And you can always throw some word into a speech or paragraph or so forth, it would be extremely helpful. But that meeting will be announced, and we'll go into that in greater detail.
Without, Mr. President, without deliberating in any sense the contributions that all have made, I think it's appropriate that I point out here, I think Arnie Weber has done an incredible job. And I think General Lincoln has. I must say, he's not the most articulate fellow in the world, but in fairness to him, I think he's a hell of an organizer. He's just done an excellent job. And I think those two men carried an unusual burden and done it exceptionally well.
No question about that. can serve off the high marks. In fact, they've done a better job than Mike and Sal talk, and I say that a lot.